today.
You're listening to Talk Sports.
Yodeling Boy, he's going to perform at the Knoxville Walmart.
He better stick with the hits and what got him famous. He better yodel. He better sing Lovesick Blues.
When you go this week,
airing every day from
noon to 3.
Mason Ramsey sticks to his roots, okay? He's not the kind of guy. He's not going Taylor Swift on
it. Yeah, that's exactly what his new single sounds like.
Well, he's trying to branch out.
Well, that's fine. He didn't stay to his roots. He branched out immediately. The first chance he got, he branched out.
On 1340 WKGN.
Did you hear how quick that happened, Ben Lee? He stuck to his roots and he branched out in the same sentence.
You can stick to your roots and still branch out. That's what trees do. I mean, that's what trees do.
Hour two, kicking off in the Fan Run Studios. I love that rejoin. Did you hear Mason's new song? He dropped a little hit. He dropped a little sample of it last night, a minute long.
That was going to be my first headline.
It sounded as if Cody, was actually sticking to his roots while branching out. That's all I wanted.
I know.
That's all I wanted. It was like, hey, don't get away from the twang. So now his new song is about how his woman loves him for his twang.
Yeah. He is sticking to his roots while branching out. Well, that thing you just did?
Yeah, was that not good? Twang.
I don't want to say it's the worst thing I've heard today.
Okay, then don't.
I won't.
Hour two headlines, collision course right now.
Thanks, John. Mason Ramsey.
You're welcome.
Mason Ramsey has released his first original song in a year.
He released the whole song?
Yeah, he released the song.
The whole song?
He released a little bit of it.
Can you read?
Apparently his family is letting him use the phone more, so we'll be hearing from him soon. I don't know what that means.
I think that means that they don't let him post on social media.
Well, that's what he said on his post. I don't know if that was his post or his family or what.
I think they keep him under wraps, probably for good reasons. I mean, he's young.
Yeah.
You don't want him...
He's just a boy.
Dealing with all the hate he probably gets. Although, usually when I check his replies, it's 95% positive. Everyone still loves Mason, but...
I'm sure there's always a few.
There's always a few, and it'll eventually change, and then people will start hating him.
Kind of sounds like they only got one iPhone.
I mean,
the whole family.
You would think they're doing pretty well now.
I would imagine the family who's having to drive him around and... having to do all this stuff and take care of him is making sure they're cashing a lot of these checks. I'm worried Mason's not going to have a whole lot in his savings when it comes time for him to get his hands on it.
I bet his parents are very thankful they decided to have him, aren't they?
I don't know, man.
It really worked out for them.
Everything I've seen is that he's just with his grandparents. I haven't ever really seen much about his parents.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Everything I see is like he's with his grandparents.
So he's kind of a lone wolf.
Yeah, I mean... or soon will be. I've seen some of his grandparents. I mean, they're both pretty old.
I'll be really interested to see how his career progresses. I guess he gets older and, you know, will he be a country music star? What'll happen with him?
At the very least, he'll probably be able to tour at least for the next 10 years or so.
Larry the Cable Guy has managed to do it. Surely if he can do it, Mason Ramsey can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get her done. You know how many millions of dollars Larry the Cable Guy made off of that one saying?
Many.
It's ridiculous.
Many.
David Payne Purdom, he's a gambling writer for ESPN. He says there's been a push for professional stadiums in Illinois and New York to be allowed to offer sports betting, and that the push is coming from team owners.
So they want just to allow people to bet inside the game.
Mm-hmm. Inside professional stadiums. Brian Windedhorse of ESPN said that the Wizards are already in the process of putting a sports book inside the arena.
I mean, it only makes sense, right?
Yes. Yes, it does. Might as well keep it right there in the arena.
Man, the first time a coach or players have a real big screw-up at the end of the game that affects the spread, that's going to – I wonder if this is going to change gambling. Like, are these coaches and these players going to become more open to the idea of point spreads and like, hey, yeah, I realize it was a 17-point game, but hey, the spread was 14, so we figured, hey, if we can kick a field goal here to get the push, we might as well do it for our fans. Or hey, we might as well try to score here to run the score up because the spread's 16.5. Let's go ahead and punch in this touchdown, because the fans are going to be betting inside the stadiums and arenas now, and that's going to become more of an open conversation. I don't know if you're going to all of a sudden change the judging of coaches into, you know, from, hey,
our coach covers.
Our coach, yeah, our coach, this team's struggling, but hey, at least they cover. Like, I don't know, because that's how I always feel.
Well, I mean, I think your coaches, if you're a fan of a team, you're probably more likely to bet that they cover the spread, aren't you? Unless you're a Tennessee fan.
I mean, I know I was less hard on Derek Dooley in year three than I had been years prior, because that early stretch of the season, Tennessee was covering. Yeah, I mean, not the Florida game, but on the road at South Carolina, on the road at Georgia, like, they were covering, so I was like, hey, the team looks better now. The team's at least fighting. And then they got their ass beat by Vandy, and they quit covering against teams like Missouri, and you're like, okay, never mind. But at least from that Georgia and South Carolina game, I was like, you know what? Boys fought hard. They got the big cover.
How about when an official screws up how things are going to be inside the stadium? Like, yeah. The coaches and players are one thing, but now when an official screws up, I mean, you got your team allegiance and money on the line?
Yeah, I mean, it might lead to at least more open dialogue, right? You know, the SEC, we talked about them last week, how they're going to start making their officials be kind of more accountable. And
might lead to the throwing of objects.
And being open and talking about it. It might just lead to more talking about it, and that will be the push for the league to try to fix their officiating issues.
Yeah.
When she calls me sweet daddy.
KD revealed that he already had surgery for his ruptured Achilles.
Such a beautiful day. Yeah, that was weird because Steve Kerr and the Warriors were up there, and they were asked, and the Warriors were like, no new updates about KD. And then like 3 minutes later, KD posted on Instagram, hey, guys, just had my Achilles surgery.
What's good, everybody?
It was ruptured.
That's what he said.
What's good? It's your boy KD. Live from the hospital.
I ruptured my Achilles. Surgery was today, and it was a success. Easy money, he said.
That Instagram post almost made it seem like KD was relieved. It was like, hey, now I can go back to posting on Instagram without being met with just thousands of snake emojis to be waiting on me in my comments. Now everyone is going to be wishing me well and saying speedy recovery. What's up? It's your boy KD.
That's what he said. What's good, everybody? Easy money. My road back starts now. I got my family and my loved ones by my side, but not the Warriors, and we truly appreciate all the messages and support people have sent.
Yeah, see? Appreciate the love, everybody. Glad you guys don't hate me anymore. That's a nice change.
Basketball's my biggest love, and I wanted to be out there that night because that's what I do. I wanted to help my teammates on our quest for the three-peat.
And they did the whole thing where they pushed me to play, and everyone called me Cupcake and said I was soft.
Proud my brothers got the W. I know my brothers can get this game 6, and I will be cheering with Dub Nation while they do it. Maybe so. Steve Kerr, yeah, he said KD was cleared by multiple parties, including an outside consultant. They were told re-injury of the calf was the only concern, and Achilles tear was not. Steve Kerr said, would we go back and do it over again? Damn right we would. Said he was cleared by multiple parties, though, so yeah, take that how you want, I suppose. Texas A&M has announced that beer and wine will be available to the general public at Kyle Field this fall.
Hey, turn up. So is this the first SEC school that says we're in? They beat LSU into saying that they're going to do it?
Well, LSU, I think we all just kind of assume they're doing
it. Right, but did they ever actually officially announce, like, hey, well, guys, we're doing this?
Well, LSU, don't they have a section?
They already have a section. Yeah, they already do, but like it's not in the general.
The drinker section?
Yeah, it's not in the general area just yet.
Well,
I mean, LSU's going to do it. I just didn't know if Texas A&M was the official first place to say it. So far, we've been seeing people say no, right?
Georgia said no.
And Alabama. right? Didn't Georgia and Alabama say no?
Did Bama?
I believe Bama said no as well.
I'm pretty sure Bama, Auburn, Mississippi State, and Georgia. Well, Georgia has that weird. Georgia has that weird section where, like, if you donate $25,000 over 5 years, you can go up to and stay there to drink.
Yeah, but they weren't going to do the whole. They weren't going to do the whole general thing just yet.
They're not going to let their regular fans drink. Only their esteemed fans, their rich fans,
the wealthy.
The Tennessee law banning handheld cell phone use is going into effect July 1st.
All right. Cody has warned you.
Yes. The law banning the handheld cell phone use while driving takes effect on July 1st. So that's coming right up just around the corner. Drivers could face a fine of up to $200 for using a cell phone while driving. Drivers 18 and older will be prohibited from holding or physically supporting a phone while driving. Hands-free devices will be allowed, including earpieces, headphone devices, or a device worn on a wrist to conduct a voice-based communication. That seems like a lot of words for just a phone call. Dashboard mounts will also be allowed. A driver's first violation, $50. If the violation is the driver's third offense or it results in a wreck, the fine jumps to $100. If the violation occurs in a work zone when workers are present or in a school zone when warning flashers are on, the fine is $200.
I feel like if you get caught on your phone and you cause a wreck, it should be worse than $100. Like, that's my takeaway there. Like, that seems low. Like, if you being distracted, breaking the law, causes you to wreck, although I guess they do the same thing with speeding. I don't know. Okay, whatever.
The bill excludes law enforcement, first responders, and utility workers, and others using a phone to make an emergency call. Does that mean you can make an emergency call?
I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's going to be hard to police, but I'm sure some people get caught with it. This has already been a law in a lot of states. I mean, or at least like in Georgia and California.
Tennessee's the 19th state to make it, make it a law.
All right. Good batch of headlines. Stick with us. It's Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. I'm in that 745. Hope I can come scoop you up round 745. All right, Cody, you want to talk some basketball? Or is there anything else you want to talk about before we get into some basketball? Is there anything else? Anything from headlines that caught your eye?
Not in particular. I mean, I thought the phone bill was pretty interesting.
Well, what's interesting about it, in your opinion?
Just how they're going to enforce it and... You know, you can still use the hands-free device, but, you know, you still got to put a hand on it to answer the call.
Yeah. Well, not always in the car, but, I mean, even in the car, you have to push your screen on
you. You got to use the hand a little bit.
Yeah. But I think if the idea is just that it's better to drive with two hands than one.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, is it okay to – can you do – as long as you have the handheld or the hands-free device, can you – do anything with the phone? Because I've found myself turning it to YouTube TV before, like going down the interstate. You know, YouTube TV, you can get it on your phone.
Yeah, sure.
You know, like watching a game or something.
Sure.
Is it legal to have it on YouTube TV?
I don't think so.
I mean, it's if you're not touching it. You got both hands on the steering wheel, eyes on the phone, and you're driving down the interstate. And, you know, you're glancing back and forth at the interstate and the phone.
You could just be like, hey, look, it's in this cup holder. You told me I could have my phone in the cup holder. I feel like you're going to get in trouble, but I don't think they'd pull you over.
I mean, they don't know where your eyes are at.
If you have it on one of those dashboard things, it's probably fine.
It's just the same as a navigation system, right?
Yeah.
Those things you could be distracted by.
Yeah, like what's the difference in looking at a map versus looking at the... you know, the Raptors game tonight.
My good friend Zach Serrano, son of Dave Serrano, does that all the time with The Office, apparently. There were a couple times I've gotten in the car with him, and he's like just fired it up and like has it like he holds it in between the little space and the steering wheel, you know?
Yeah.
And drives like that.
I mean, sometimes you get bored.
And I've gotten so mad.
With the office? Like, you can't – I assume he's seen it many times. You can't like get in your car and drive without getting your office fixed? That seems – weird.
I mean, it gets boring just looking at the road in front of you.
I think he did it with a lot of shows, but like this one boring? In particular.
Yeah, it gets boring.
Driving? I don't think it's supposed to be fun.
At least have a little entertainment. Well, that you can make it fun.
They've got the music thing to be your entertainment.
I like watching a little TV when I drive. Cam says he's done it too.
Okay.
I mean, who wants to just look at the cars in front of them the whole time?
Yeah, no, I mean, that's fun. Understandable.
People that don't want to die.
I haven't died yet, have I?
That's true. You are still alive.
This is not something I do often, but I may or may not have done it one time. I think it was Thanksgiving. I was on the way home, and Tennessee was playing Louisville in that basketball game. You remember that? I watched a majority of that game on the interstate.
I wonder what the ticket price will be on that, the ticket fine.
I don't know. I ended up
feeling... watching YouTube TV.
I ended up feeling unsafe, so I stopped at a Chili's.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
At least it felt unsafe.
Is that any better than just listening to a broadcast, like a radio broadcast of the game?
Yeah, you can see what's happening.
There had been times whenever, like, I mean, I just remember, you know, driving back whenever I lived in Sweetwater. I would be driving back at night sometimes, and the Hawks were in the playoffs one time, and you can either pull it up on your phone and watch it, but I would just go and find the play-by-play like on SiriusXM, and that was fine enough for me, was just to listen to that.
I enjoy
it. I didn't necessarily
broadcast.
Have to see it. The listening was good enough for me. I don't mind that. I actually like it sometimes.
I enjoy listening to the broadcast. I sought out the games that we play, the NFL games that played on our channel
mm-hmm.
during the season.
Mm, well. That was always my thought with the whole it's illegal to text while driving. I was like, if you get caught texting while driving, you're just an idiot. Because I'll always be like, why wouldn't you just say you were making a phone call? I was just like, I saw your phone in your hand. Yeah, making a phone call. They can't see your screen.
That's obstructing justice.
I don't think that's obstructing justice. I don't think that's what that
means.
That's
just a simple lie.
That's just a simple lie. Sir, were you texting on your phone? No, I was making
Absolutely
a phone call.
Absolutely not.
Yeah. I was watching YouTube TV. Show me the law in the book right now. It says I can't watch YouTube TV. All it says is no texting while driving. I'm not texting. So now they're like, fine, let's just make it no phones in your hand type of thing. All right, so any more thoughts on the phone bill? The cell phone bill?
Not in particular. I don't guess so. What else we got?
That's weird. The U.S. Open started. I haven't even thought about that today.
The tennis, golf. Golf.
Yeah, yes. It's not even on the front page of ESPN.
What is tennis doing right now? They're in the French Open?
I mean, the French Open's
over. It's already over.
It's over. I guess they're waiting for the U.S. Open.
Yeah. So we got the U.S. Open and golf. That's good. This is the biggest golf event since the Masters.
I mean,
was the PGA?
PGA, too.
Yeah, we had the PGA in there.
Yeah, I mean. I don't know if the U.S. Open's bigger than the PGA or not, like on a ranking system.
It's just like a major.
Yeah, sure.
We can all get invested in a major.
Yeah, it's time for boring-ass Brooks Koepka to come out and win again, so that'll be nice. I guess they have teed off Scott Piercy. I never heard of that guy. He's leading. He's 4-under through 13. John Rahm and Ricky Fowler and Gary Woodland. Louis Oosthuizen, I've heard of all those guys. Those guys are all at 3-under.
You know, Louis Oosthuizen, I always see him near the top of the boards, but he never seems to win anything. I don't think I've ever seen Louis Oosthuizen win anything.
That's how I feel about John Rahm.
John Rahm, yeah, that's another guy see up there.
How's my boy Fleetwood?
Tommy?
I know Tiger doesn't tee off till 5. Tommy Fleetwood, let me see, because I like Tommy Fleetwood, too. He has 1-under through 7, Ben.
Why do you like Tommy Fleetwood?
I don't know. I just always find myself rooting for him.
Because of his last name?
I've bet on him twice, and
maybe,
both times he's failed
me. Fleetwood's kind of a cool name. I like the long hair. And then there was that one Masters I watched when he came out and was like a 64 on Sunday and like kind of got in contention. I think that's what he saw. I mean, don't hold me to that, but I think that's what happened.
He's just kind of seems like a cool guy, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and then he was awesome in the Ryder Cup, even though I wasn't supposed to be rooting for that because we're Americans and he is not.
I always pull.
But he was
for
a killer
American.
In the. He was a killer in the Ryder Cup.
I didn't even put my favorite golfer on my board.
I forgot to get in that damn U.S. Open pool too.
Tiger Woods.
I was gonna say, is it anybody other than Tiger?
It's Tiger Woods.
That's your favorite golfer?
Yeah, crazy.
Can you update the board, or have you erased it already?
No, it's still there.
Update it.
But I already tweeted it out.
And since golf is not a team sport, Tiger's also my favorite individual golfer.
Okay.
Which makes no sense at all.
In what regard? It doesn't make sense.
I don't know if I have room to write Tiger.
Either way. All right, let's talk some basketball next. I guess, do we have a NASCAR minute today, Cam, since they're all headed to the break? We're going to standing updates, okay? We'll do a standing update at some point in this hour. Ben, you got your this or that topics ready? We'll still got this or that to play. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. Where are you at right now, Cody, in terms of your interest level? Are you all in on this game tonight? Are you paying equal attention to what's happening with Kyrie Irving and Anthony Davis? Or do you care about neither or equally? How would you rate it?
I have not paid a lot of attention to the Kyrie and Anthony Davis stuff. I'm much more interested in the actual game tonight.
Okay. And tonight in history, you know, if you just look back, what, 3 years ago, tonight was one of the more iconic performances. It happened in Golden State, backs against the wall, 3-1. This was the game where Kyrie and LeBron just came out and said, hey, we're not going to lose. You remember that game where they both scored 41 points in Game 5? Both of them?
I do remember that game.
Kyrie, 17 of 24 from the field, 5 of 7 from 3, 6 assists. LeBron, 41 points, 16 of 30, 4 of 8 from 3.
I do remember that game. 82 together.
The first time teammates scored 40-plus in an NBA Finals game, ever.
Hard to not win with that kind of output.
That game also got Draymond suspended, and then, of course, they went back to Cleveland and beat their ass in Game 6, and then you remember what happened with the block and the shot in Game 7.
You bet I do.
Feels like Golden State's going to kind of need that performance from Steph Curry and Klay tonight. Like, it's a three-year anniversary of two teammates going out and scoring 40-plus. Kind of feels like if the Warriors are going to win and extend this to Game 7, kind of feels like Steph and Klay are going to have to come out and replicate that. At least that's how I'm feeling right now.
I mean, they've got to have a newfound confidence, I'd say. Now, the fact that they've gotten one, you know what I mean? Down 3-1 and they've already gotten one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I get the idea of having confidence, but man, like, I keep coming back to the Raptors didn't play good and the Warriors shot awesome and they still won by one. Like, I don't know how much confidence that gives you.
I know what you mean. I can't rule out Golden State with their back against the wall at home, you know? I mean, it's still Golden State, albeit without Durant. I mean, anytime you still got Steph and Klay and they're in Oracle, I would not be at all surprised to see this go to 7.
I don't know if I would classify myself as surprised. I mean, Golden State is still holding on as 2.5-point favorites, but I don't think it's going to happen. Right, so like you're saying, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't come in and say, wow, I don't know how Golden State won that game. But right now I'm thinking, you know, if we go back to the asset draft, man, like, I feel even more confident that there are, you know, the top players still in Toronto, Kawhi Leonard. I think the next three are probably still in Golden State with Steph, Klay, and Draymond. But, man, like, after that, I'm not putting Kevin Durant on there, obviously. I really don't even take the Warriors' home court advantage seriously tonight. I would put every Raptor player filling out the top 10. I would go Ibaka. I would go Gasol. I'd go Lowry, Siakam.
Toronto's already won two.
Danny Green. Yeah, like, the home court advantage tonight isn't going to help Golden State, at least in my opinion. I think they're looking at having three of the best four players still, and then Toronto has the next, you know, six.
Toronto's gotten so much help from those other guys on the team. I mean, it's been, you know, different guys have just stepped up continuously for them. Siakam had the huge first game, And then, you know, Gasol and Ibaka, they've all come up big. They've all come up big when they needed to.
You rarely get seven guys on the same team who can all play defense and shoot. Like, all yeah. seven of those guys can play defense and shoot.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to go with Golden State tonight to force a game seven. I think they'll find it at home.
Do you
agree? They'll get it to seven.
Do you agree with that, Ben Lee? Thumbs up, thumbs down. Golden State forces game seven tonight. Thumbs down. Cam, you thumbs up or thumbs down? Thumbs down.
Thumbs down.
So you're the only person out here picking the Warriors, which I don't – like, again, the Warriors are favored by 2.5. When I look at it, man, like I think all seven of their guys, and they might get OG Anunoby back, and that could be an eighth guy who can shoot and play, although he's going to kind of be you know, rusty. He hasn't played in a long time. But they got seven guys who can defend and shoot. And when I look at Golden State, I really feel like at this point in time, they have two guys who can do both. And that's even counting Steph Curry as a defender. Like, they have two guys you feel good about as a scoring threat. The rest of – I don't – it's crazy. I never thought I would say this on a team that has DeMarcus Cousins and had Kevin Durant and has Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. I don't know, Cody, where the points are going to come from.
Steph and Klay.
I hope. But, like
– we've yet to see both of them have a big game together.
Well, I think that's – I think there's a reason for that,
yeah,
though.
Yeah, they're being defended.
Right, and I think they're the only two options, and you've seen Nick Nurse be able to come out in a triangle and two and just say, yeah, we're going to guard you two, and the rest of you guys we're not really worried about. Like that, I don't think that's going to change tonight. I think that's still going to be an issue.
I mean, that's still going to be the strategy for Toronto, as it should be.
Like, again, the Warriors hit 20 threes in game four. Three of those were by Kevin Durant. They might hit 20 threes tonight. I guarantee you Kevin Durant ain't hitting three of them. I feel very comfortable in that. They hit 20 threes.
He just had Achilles surgery?
Yeah, he won't be on the court tonight.
I'm surprised they didn't clear him.
Yeah. They're probably like, hey, Kevin, can you get in your wheelchair and at least spot up in the corner? Like, I would rather you be shooting wide-open corner threes than having Jordan Bell do anything or, you know, really having Quinn Cook in a big game have to shoot. Can you bring your wheelchair out there? If you have to do crutches, that's fine. I'm sure you can still hit a 10-foot wide-open jumper if we get you the ball open.
I'm sure.
Is there any chance, Kevin, you can squeeze a couple minutes out for us? We're trying to three-peat, in case you are unaware.
I can't walk.
Yeah, but
I can't even walk.
Yeah, but, I mean, think about your teammates. They really need you right now.
He'd probably go out there and try.
Poor Kevin. Poor Kevin.
I mean, you couldn't. Can he? When will he be able to walk? I wonder.
I mean, he can. I mean, he walked off the court after his injury.
Oh, you can walk with an Achilles?
Yeah, you just. I mean, you have to walk very gingerly. Like, there's that really badass clip. It's really Kobe. I mean, Kobe had two good moments after tearing the Achilles. One of them was when he immediately walked to the free throw line and hit two free throws to help them get in the playoffs. Like, that's one of the more badass moments in NBA history.
With a torn Achilles?
Yeah, he popped his Achilles against the Warriors before the Warriors were the Warriors, and he walked to the free throw line, he limped to the free throw line, sunk his two free throws, and then had to check out and have Achilles surgery and miss the whole next year. The second obvious badass moment was when he scored 60 points in his last game. That was cool.
That was, yeah, his final game when he – I've always wondered about that one, whether they kind of just let him do his thing, you know?
I don't think they let him. I think he just shot 50 times and he got really hot in the fourth quarter.
I mean, who were they playing?
The Jazz. And the Jazz were a good defensive team. And the Jazz, I mean, I watched the game a couple times. I had DVR, and I watched the fourth quarter a couple times. Like, they were hanging all over him, and he just kept hitting shots. But they were also, the Lakers were like, we're going to do everything we can to let Kobe score as many points as possible. We don't have anything we're playing for other than Kobe's legacy. And Kobe just came out and shot 50 times and scored 60 points.
Went out about as well as you could go out.
Well,
from an individual standpoint.
I mean, I'd still rather have Michael Jordan hitting that shot against the Jazz to win a championship. I'd rather go out that way.
That's not how he went out, though.
I know. Even I'm guilty of the thing I always say other people are guilty of. I don't remember Michael Jordan's last game with the Wizards. Yeah.
I'm watching Kobe's Achilles injury right now.
I feel like you just can't come back from that. Why did he come back from that?
For the Wizards?
Yeah, I get the whole itch or whatever, but like, You had the perfect ending. Like, why come back to play for the Wizards? Like,
I don't know. It does kind of seem like it, you know, hurts your legacy a little bit.
I mean, he was still balling. He was still okay. Like, he was fine. But, I mean, like, you had the moment, man.
Yeah, but it's like, why come back and be Michael Jordan with the Wizards?
Yeah, like, you had the moment.
What was his final year? Early 2000s?
I want to say, was it 03?
03.
Is that right? Or 02? I guess 02, maybe. Because I know his first year back was 2001. Because he donated, like, his entire salary for first responders after 9/11.
This is a nice thing for
him. This is Michael Jordan, correct?
Yes.
His final game was April 16th, 2003.
Yeah, so he came back October 2001, then the whole season was in 2002, and then 2002-03, right?
And he lost 107-87 to the 76ers.
Oof.
And scored 15 points.
How many shots did he put up? Can you get the box score?
Yeah.
That's not a very good end of the career, getting beat by 18 by the 76ers. Now, granted, I mean, the 76ers were good, I guess.
It was 20 exactly, 107-87.
Oh, 107-87, okay, I thought it was, 89 for some reason.
Just watch Kobe limp to the line.
That's pretty badass, though, right? I mean, Kobe limping to the line with the Achilles is one of the best moments in sports of the last decade.
And he hit two free throws.
And they had to win that game. Like, that's why Kobe ruptured his Achilles, is he was having to play like 45 minutes a game to try to get Dwight Howard's bum ass into the playoffs.
That tied it at 109. A couple of big free throws by Kobe.
With a torn Achilles. So, yeah, you can walk.
Jack Nicholson, really happy for him. He's clapping.
Jordan went 6 of 15 in his final game.
He's a big Lakers fan.
Only when they're good. He doesn't show up when they're bad.
Is that true?
Yeah. He's just there when they're good.
Has he not been there lately?
No. Like, he showed up at the early part of the year when LeBron was there and everything was good, but when they went on that losing streak, Jack wasn't nowhere to be found. Same as, like, the last 2 or 3 years, he has been nowhere to be found.
Yeah, he can kind of do what he wants.
He's old now, so that, I guess, plays into it. But he's, like, also doesn't want to be around losers.
No, he's Jack Nicholson. He's a winner.
Right. He's like, I'm a winner. I'm not hanging around losers. Precisely.
I don't really blame him. He's 82 now?
Yeah, he's an old man.
Good God. I had no idea Jack Nicholson was that old.
He can't spend his last days watching a LeBron-less Lakers team run out there and get beat.
No, you can't blame him for not showing up.
They really need to trade for Anthony Davis just for the sake of Jack Nicholson.
Jack Nicholson is a very broad actor. Like, he can kind of act in any kind of movie. Do you feel that way about Jack Nicholson? He can play a wide range of roles.
Couldn't go back and play like a high school student or anything like that.
With the makeup these days, I mean, maybe.
Jordan went 6 of 15, 3 of 4 from the line. For 15 points, okay. 4 rebounds, and 2 turnovers.
Michael Jordan did this?
So, yeah, I mean, Kobe had a better finale than Jordan. I don't know, understand why you come back to do that. I mean, I guess you just get the itch or whatever and prove you want to prove you can do it. But, man.
It's kind of like Jack Nicholson doing that Bucket List movie.
No, I think Bucket List was that was critically acclaimed, right?
I really liked that movie.
Yeah, I don't think that one was bad.
Two of my favorite actors. Him and Morgan Freeman together.
I've never actually watched it.
It does help that no one ever remembers the Wizards years.
Yeah.
They're just like, ah.
Right now?
Yeah. Not right now. No, we got another hour and 20 minutes to do a radio.
We can watch it after that on the TV in here.
I don't think the Drive has to come in and do their show.
We can just sit in the floor behind them and just watch it.
I guess we could. I'll keep that in mind. Although, I got a shower guy at my house right now trying to fix my shower, so I got to go check on him.
You think he's testing it out? Like showering in your shower?
I don't think so, because you had to like scrape up all the tile.
I wonder if that's part of the job as a guy who fixes a shower. You got to test it, right?
What if he's like, wants me to get in and test it while he stands outside like and looks through the glass as a shower?
Taking off your clothes, if you don't mind.
Like, can you
that
get
would
there?
Be a weird thing for the shower guy to ask.
Would I have to do it to make sure my shower's working?
I think so.
Do I put swim trunks on, or do I just get naked and get in there and do it?
That's up to him.
Or why is it not up to me?
Well, you got to ask him.
Well, I feel like it should be up to me.
But he's the professional.
Right, but
he might need to see you fully nude to know whether or not the shower's working.
I'm more so just thinking from my perspective, like,
you don't get to pick.
I think it's weirder to make me pick, because then I have to face that dilemma of, do I just act shy and put on bathing suits? Then he's going to think I'm hiding something. Or do I just go all out naked. He's going to think I'm weird because I'm naked in front of him.
That's why you got to ask him what he prefers.
Yeah. You have any preference, man?
I'd like to see you nude.
Fair enough. Here we go. Stick with us. Let's talk sports on Fan Run Radio.
You can spit acid on him if you want to.
Back on the program. Some, I guess, transaction news, because I'm 100%. I guess I can't say 100%. Let me try this again. I am 10 out of 10 excited for tonight's basketball game. Game 6, can Golden State defend the last night in Oracle history? Like, tonight's the last night of their arena's history. Can they defend it? They've been beaten twice by Toronto in this series in Oakland. If they lose tonight, the dynasty's over. Can they defend it as the, kind of a scrappy underdog team? I'm 10 out of 10 excited. Want to watch this game? I'll be counting down the hours after I get off of the show.
I'm also 10 out of 10 excited. Did you ask me about the hockey game yesterday and how excited I was for that?
I don't know. Maybe.
I think I said 10 out of 10 for that one, too.
So you were equally excited for that one as you are tonight?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, but 100% of my focus is not on the game. Like, I am really intrigued by this free agency stuff as well. The transactions.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yesterday you had Kyrie Irving saying, hey, former agent, see you later. Appreciate the Uncle Drew money. That was nice of you. That was great. I loved being in that Pepsi commercial, and then I loved somehow getting my own movie out of it. That was great. Thank you. You did a good job, agent. Here's how I'm going to thank you. You're fired. Right before I get ready to sign this big-ass free agency contract. Don't need you anymore.
I mean, sometimes the best move is to fire them right when things are good so you can take that next step. Ask Toronto.
Yeah, but that's a tough – man. That's got to be tough for his former agent.
I mean, sometimes you got to find what's better. And when are you going to find – the green grass on the other side if you're not already close to the fence.
Like I said, Jeff Wessler had been with him from the get-go, ever since he was at Duke. And right, you know, basically 2 weeks, 3 weeks before he signs this big deal, that would have been a huge commission check. What's the agent rate? 3%? How much do agents get? 5%, says Ben? That seems right. I think 5% seems right. 5% of $140 million is a lot of money.
5% of $140 million?
Yeah.
That's like $8 million.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, roughly. Seven, I think.
Yeah.
I believe it's seven because half of 14 is seven.
I just threw that number out there.
I mean, you were close. I think it's seven.
That's a good chunk of change. So
the NBA is like actually capped at three, but then every other sports league is somewhere between 4 and 10.
Okay.
Between 4 and 10?
That's what it's
saying. 5 sounded right, but 3 was my initial thing. So the NBA just caps that out. Basically, NBA contracts are so big, we're not letting you make $7 million off of one contract. Okay. So he was set to make, I guess,
and apparently the MLB
$3 million.
The MLB and the NHL don't have a cap on their agents.
Man, that's imagine why, being the agent for, like,
that's
for
why
Bryce
Scott,
Harper.
That's why that. Scott Boras is super paid.
So these agents... How many clients does an agent typically carry?
A ton.
The good ones carry a ton. I mean, this Jeff Wessler guy, the only one that mentioned from him at the bottom of this page about how he got fired, says that he used to represent Alonzo Mourning and Penny Hardaway, and he also represents Celtics star Jason Tatum. So maybe he just had Kyrie and Tatum, which is also interesting because I really think Kyrie and Tatum hate each other. Like, I think there's real beef there. I think all of Kyrie's weird stuff about his young teammates not being ready, I think all of that was directed at Jason Tatum. Maybe a little Jaylen Brown, but mostly Jason Tatum.
That would be a really cool job.
To be an agent?
Yeah.
I know.
Did you ever dream of that growing up?
I wouldn't say I dreamed of it, but I always considered that an option. Then I was like, ah, law school, I really don't want to go through law school.
That's what deterred me.
Yeah, the whole training thing, that was the problem. I mean, I guess you don't have to do that. Like, some of these, although I guess maybe to be certain, I don't know. Like,
you got to know how to read the contracts is the biggest thing, I think.
Yeah, I mean.
Which is why the lawyer thing kind of helps.
Yeah.
You know, the great thing about life is you can always start over. Any of us could go be an agent right now. It's not too late. We'd have to go get the schooling for it.
I'd just basically just be starting right where I'm at.
You're still relatively young.
Yeah, you're very young.
And I've got no education, so.
I think we're all relatively young. I mean, unless you're like 82, you can go do it. And I don't know if you saw the story about these senior citizens in college now.
Yep.
They're getting $10 per credit hour tuition. Can't remember where I saw that, what state or what school that is, but so, you know, it's never too late.
Yeah, they're in that big piece on Rich Paul, you know, the agent of LeBron James and Anthony Davis, who was attached to this Kyrie Irving story, which, by the way, Kyrie is apparently signing with Roc Nation, Jay-Z's agency.
Oh, yeah.
Jay-Z, Brooklyn Nets. Kind of going ahead and tipping his hand like, hey, I'm going to New York. Now, maybe there's a Knicks thing there, but it seems like it's going to be the Brooklyn Nets.
I thought that was pretty much known, wasn't it? Even before that Kyrie's going to the Nets?
I think there was still some hope from Boston. There's probably still some hope from the Lakers, but if Kyrie would have signed with Rich Paul, would have really seemed like he was going to the Lakers, but instead he signs with Jay-Z and Roc Nation, and yeah, it seems like he's probably going to end up in Brooklyn with the Nets. At least that's what people think.
It's probably best for Kyrie to not go back and be with LeBron. I think it's usually best to stay away from the old thing.
I don't know, man. It's like I've said many times on the radio show. I think the best thing you can be is self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Kyrie going to the Nets, unless Durant goes there too, is going to mean that Kyrie is the alpha of that team. And I think Kyrie should be self-aware in that he might not be good at being the whole alpha of a team. Like, I don't think anyone, Kyrie Irving or any Boston Celtics fans, came out of their experiment of him being the alpha of the team and come out of that feeling good. Like, all parties are like, yeah, this didn't go so well.
They thought Kyrie was a major superstar, and he might just be a star.
Right. They thought he was ready to be number one, ready to have his own team. He thought that, and then he was tapping out halfway through the year saying, you know what, I'm really sorry, LeBron. I should have been nicer to you.
Things did get really weird in Boston, too. You know, with all those young players they had emerging whenever him and Hayward were out. And it was just a weird dynamic for them to try to come back and kind of retake that team. You know, a guy like him's out, and you get all these younger players in who come in, and they all do a good job. They make a run in the playoffs. And then he comes back, and all of a sudden he says, hey, remember, I'm the alpha. My team. I'm the superstar. And it just never went well.
So now he wants to go to Brooklyn and do that all again, like with no other stars. I mean, granted, I think he thinks he's going to get a star, but even if he doesn't, like, is he going to want to have his own team?
Well, Brooklyn doesn't have that dynamic of all those good young players, right?
Yeah, no, they do. They're a good young core. Like, now, granted, they'd be losing their best player in this scenario, most likely D'Angelo Russell, letting him go. But I mean, that whole roster's young. Spencer Dinwiddie's young. Jared Allen's young. He's going to be leading young guys.
Well, I was going to say they're not quite like Boston, but they did make the playoffs, didn't they?
Yeah.
So they're
I mean, they're trending in the right direction.
Yeah, they're not bad, are they?
I mean, much like Boston, they would have a mix of veterans and young guys, but
I just feel like with Boston, it was the fact that he was out for so long and then came back.
Yeah, I mean, the actual problem, and I think you're on the right track there, the problem is that they were good without him.
Right. Yeah, and those young guys started to think, hey, why should we be second fiddle to him?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, and I never understood it this offseason when everyone kept saying they were going to be so good. I didn't see it because you know, when you have two stars coming back, and, you know, Gordon Hayward was a star. I don't think he is anymore, and Kyrie Irving is a star. When you have two guys coming back that are going to want at least 30 minutes a game, you're going to take 30 minutes away from somebody else. And all of a sudden, your young guys are, you know, taking a step back in their progression, and they're getting less shots. And they're looking around saying, oh, wait, what's this? Why are we doing this right now? Oh, because Kyrie? Then Kyrie's doing all that weird stuff where he's, you know, challenging them and acting like he is some grizzled veteran that knows what it's like to lead a team, even though he's never done it. Now, don't get me wrong, Kyrie can ball. And like I said, today is the 3-year anniversary of him dropping 41 points on the road in Oakland against a team that won 73 games. He did that, and that was them at full strength. Everyone has it in their head they only won that series because Draymond got suspended, but they went into Oracle and busted their ass with the full strength team.
82 points.
And LeBron and Kyrie were the two best players on the court. Forget Steph Curry. Forget Klay Thompson. That was Kyrie and LeBron. Draymond was back for Game 7. They were full strength Game 7. And Kyrie was the guy on the court who hit the dagger.
I wonder how different things would have been if Kyrie had just stuck with LeBron this whole time.
I don't know. They probably both went out of Cleveland. They're probably like, yeah, this is better if we just go our separate ways. This whole Cleveland thing's ran its course.
They could have gone together to L.A.
Yeah. Yeah. We also got the updates yesterday that the Pelicans are aggressively talking to both the Lakers and the Celtics right now, trying to get Anthony Davis traded somewhere.
Yeah, an aggressive Pelican. That's never something you want to encounter.
It does seem actually really scary.
Yeah. I've encountered one.
You've encountered an aggressive Pelican?
Yes.
Where?
The beach.
What'd it do to you?
Well, it was coming at me and just, you know, really moving its head. And, you know, they've got that big gulping mouth. It looked like he just wanted to eat my head. I thought he was just going to swallow me up because they can hold so much in that mouth. Could probably get me in there, you know, at least my head. I'd just be running around with a pelican on my head. They're aggressive birds. Have you never seen one get really mad? They get angry. Those pelicans, Ben knows what I'm talking about. Pelicans, angry pelicans, they get mad. Yeah. I mean, that's a bird you don't really want to mess around with. Flamingos. Kind of the same way.
All birds scare me.
All birds seem pretty aggressive, don't they?
And they got toucans? Diseases. They got diseases.
You ever come across a toucan?
No.
There's not many of them in Tennessee.
I was going to say, are the toucans out in the wild? Like, where would I run into one of those? I feel like that's – yeah, I was going to say, I feel like that's a whole different continent.
They're mainly in the Amazon, I think, and on cereal boxes.
Would I have seen one maybe in Costa Rica? Because I did take a jungle tour through Costa Rica.
Yeah, they got toucans in Costa Rica.
So maybe I have seen a toucan. I know they had a viper that was just hanging out on a tree. It was camouflage, Cam. It might have been there was a yellow one, but there was another one that was like could camouflage, and it was always hanging out at the same tree. And my guy was like, "Right there is a very very poisonous snake. Don't touch that tree." Like that was the rule of the tour. Is like you just walk on the trail. Don't touch anything because there was all these animals just hanging out like right there waiting.
I wouldn't want to be near it.
So there are six different types of toucans in Costa Rica. So, yeah, actually, I think I have encountered a toucan. Yeah, the snake thing made me nervous. Like, what happens if it just bites me?
Yeah, like, I know we're all walking by it and it seems normal, but I don't know. I guess, you know, like they say, a snake is just as scared of you as you are of him, right?
That's what I've heard before.
I've heard it.
Hour two in the books, hour three on deck. We got headlines. We got last call. We got this or that. Cam's NASCAR minute. It's jam-packed!